This parking lot at the corner of Broadway and Harry Streets near downtown Wichita will soon have a lot less traffic, both cars and shopping carts. That's because the Dillon's grocery store, which has been here for over six decades, is set to close tomorrow.
It's going to affect me a lot. I live like six blocks away. It's the closest one. They're going to lose my business to Walmart just because it's right here.
Lorinda Walker is still wearing her work uniform, name tag and all. She's in her 40s, skinny with a long ponytail. She rode her bike here, which has a large basket on the back. She says she rides it everywhere, including to her job as a housekeeper, which pays minimum wage.
It's going to affect a lot of people. We are all low income in this area, and we can't afford to take a bus most of the time, so we walk or ride a bike.
Walker says it's not just the inconvenience. She's sad to see her neighborhood grocery store go. Standing next to her is James Clark. He says he walks here every week for his groceries.
Do you have an alternative to other groceries?
Probably Family Dollar. Usually I do a lot of shopping in Family Dollar.
This isn't the only Dillon's closing its doors. The one located at 13th and Woodlawn, also in a lower-income neighborhood, will be shutting down too. The news of these closings is troubling to those already trying to provide healthy food to people who can't afford it or can't access it. Denise Diaz sits with her colleague Jan McMahon in a kitchen they use as a classroom. They work as food and nutrition education agents with the Sedgwick County Extension Office, which is affiliated with Kansas State University. Their jobs are to show low-income families as well as seniors how to cook nutritious meals on limited budgets.
Poor nutrition definitely does lead to staying in poverty longer and more disease, you know, and especially if you're, for instance, a senior citizen and you have to choose between prescriptions and food, and you're shortchanging yourself on food, then your prescriptions aren't going to work as well.
Jan McMahon says it's hard for her office to do anything about the problem of accessibility. They encourage their clients to use transportation through churches, nonprofits, and city transit, but it often falls short. What they can do is get people acquainted with and even excited about nutritious food.
It's fun to see parents when we do classes and take a recipe out, or sometimes they get to prepare it there. Oh, my kids will not eat this. And the kids come in, you know, after the class and they're gobbling it up and the parents are just amazed. My child will eat that. I didn't think they would eat that.
Both of these education agents also teach parents how to shop smart, stretching their dollar but still getting their family the nutrition they need. They estimate that at least 20,000 people throughout Sedgwick County are influenced by their education each year. At the YMCA building along Market Street, the lobby is busy with people pre- and post-workout. It's here where much of the data about food deserts in Wichita was first collected last year. Becky Tuttle's organization collected that data. Their offices are here at the YMCA.
The Health and Wellness Coalition is a community coalition. We've been in existence for about 10 years.
They determined that Wichita currently has 44 square miles of food deserts. They also found that one-fourth of the city's population live in these areas. She says they initially studied food deserts to get a snapshot of the city's overall health. What they found is that these areas do in fact have sources of food, but it's often unhealthy.
From the study, we also found that just under 50% of convenience stores sell fruits, which is great, and we applaud that, but they only 9% of them sell vegetables.
The cost of fruits and vegetables at convenience stores is often much higher than grocery stores. Tuttle's organization is now taking a closer look at the food deserts they identified.
We're doing a follow-up study about the behaviors of the people in a couple of the zip codes that have food deserts to figure out if they do eat healthy, how and why, and if people don't, how and why.
Tuttle says they hope to use this information to lift any barriers between these communities and healthy lifestyles. This includes lobbying for different policymaking, like public transportation, making the city more bike-friendly, and providing health and wellness programs in workplaces and schools.
When people are talking about the problems that are associated with food deserts, they usually think about it in terms of individual health, and those are certainly major problems.
Chase Billingham is a professor and sociologist at Wichita State University. He says that while it's true that you see higher rates of obesity, diabetes, and heart disease within food deserts, there are also much broader, less obvious problems.
It's not just the individual health outcomes that matter. There's also, you can think about it in terms of community health outcomes, particularly the economic health of communities. So convenient access to a good grocery store is also an economic development issue.
These issues can take many forms, according to Billingham. Those moving to a new city or even moving within their own city would like to be near grocery stores.
If you drive by a place and you see a lot of abandoned storefronts, if you see light, you're going to be less likely to want to live in that neighborhood.
He says it's not out of the question to ask grocery stores to stay in low-income areas. If it's profit margins they're after, he suggests helping them out.
Dillon's is closing these stores mostly because they're not profitable for them. There may be a way that we could implement some sort of public subsidy if we believe that a grocery store like Dillon's is a benefit for the community, to persuade those places to stay open even if they're facing very thin profit margins.
We've got our vertical garden area that's focused on growing melons, squashes, and things like that.
Rebecca McMahon is walking up and down the rows of what she calls a demonstration garden, located at the Sedgwick County Extension Office. It's impressive. A number of raised beds offer peppers, tomatoes, squash, lettuce, and much more. The garden provides an example of what residents can build in their own neighborhoods.
We usually have between 25 and 30 community gardens in the county, most of them in the Wichita area. And they're in all sorts of different neighborhoods, but a lot of them are in some of our lower income neighborhoods.
If access to fresh produce is the problem, growing it yourself is one way to remedy that. McMahon provides instruction on how to utilize small patches of unused land to grow produce. She says it can be shared by a community or simply put in a backyard for personal use. Building one doesn't have to cost a lot of money, but you need volunteers and someone willing to give up a plot of land.
You have to have a good site with full sun. You need good soil that's not contaminated with lead or other industrial chemicals. You need access to water. So it can be pretty tricky to get all three of those things in one site.
She says those that build and eventually harvest from community or home gardens are living healthier lives.
Do some herbs, quite a number of herbs. We've got herbs in different areas of the garden.
The city of Wichita is currently discussing a sales tax, one that could impact these food deserts. If approved, more funds would be available for public transit, which could provide added service for those needing to get more places. For KMUW News, I'm Sean Sandifer.